perfect is that? Because this movie was terrible, too. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli producing the show, 610-632-0975. Will Smith has come up a lot during the show tonight as we talk Sixers and Flyers. We'll get to the Major League Baseball concerns. But Wild Wild West was awful. All, like, capital letters. You liked it?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that it's a bad movie. I'm not going to sit here and try to, like, argue with you that it's a good movie. It's not a good movie.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's one of those movies that you kind of, like you talked about, where I can unplug and watch it for a couple hours and kind of have fun. I know it's a bad movie.
It is an awful movie. Awful movie, man. Awful. We're talking movies because it's Wesley Snipes' 58th birthday. So in honor of his birthday and his great acting career, despite the pause that he had when he had to go to prison for tax evasion, he's had some very, very good and memorable movies, right? He's also had some bad ones, just like everyone else has. And I chose The Fan as a bad one for Wesley Snipes. Did you give yours, Tyler, a bad Wesley movie? You didn't give one yet?
No, right, I didn't.
Think about it.
No, I've got one for you.
You got one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's weird. It's, you know, part of it's a sequel. So the sequels often get worse as they go on.
You're going Blade?
But Blade was fantastic. And by the time they got to Blade
3?
2 was okay. By the time they got to Blade 3.
You're out.
It wasn't even worth it.
Okay.
But, like, the first Blade is awesome.
Yeah. Never really got into it. But I know that it's a big deal. Anyway, the whole point of it was the conversation. Simply give us an actor or an actress, your favorite, one of your favorites, that had a terrible, terrible movie. 610-632-0975. We have a lot of them. This is one of my favorite ones. And we're going to Dom right here. But Jay Siciliano, 1440, Jacqueline says, Sandra Bullock, Speed 2. Yes. Yes, Jackie. Yes. Once, and I responded back with this, once Keanu Reeves bailed out on that one, it was doomed from the start. Terrible movie. Awful sequel. Speed was great. Right? Speed was great. And you come up with that mess cruise control on the boat? With Jason Patrick? No. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Oh, that movie was bad. Willem Dafoe was in it. So you had Willem Dafoe, Sandra Bullock. Terrible movie. Just terrible movie. Yeah, Speed 2. Sandra Bullock, I understand, but I don't understand. Let's go to Tasty Cake. Dom on the Fanatic. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Devon. How are you?
How you doing, man?
Now, Devon, did you see the Wesley Goldie Hawn vehicle, Wildcats?
Yes.
See that?
Yes, the young Wesley
Snipes. Are you thumbs up on Wildcats?
I'm a thumbs up on Wildcats.
Yeah, as you were talking, I'm a big Wesley guy, so he's usually pretty good for me.
Yeah, but look, that's why we're showing him the respect on his birthday. Right, and talking about him as an actor and the great movies that he's had, but he's had some bad ones in there too, mixed in. Dom had some bad ones.
Now I called you because, first of all, I cannot wait for tomorrow night, Devon.
Oh,
my
man.
God,
come
I
on
can't
now,
wait for
come on, yeah, but, 7 o'clock, I mean, right here on the Fanatic.
But I talked to Anthony. I want your opinion on this because on my route, mm-hmm. guys, I can't believe this is even an argument. So on against the Mavericks, did you hear Zoo say that Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest foreign-born player to ever play in the NBA?
So I was listening to Tom McGinnis here, but I did see it on Twitter where people were talking about it.
That's a violation. He's missing somebody, Devon.
He said Dirk. So you said foreign-born, right?
Right.
All right, because there are a lot of foreign-borns that...
All respect to Dirk. He ain't never been the dream. Ever.
Hakeem Olajuwon. Yes.
No.
Yeah. And
the dream is top 10.
Yes,
Devon.
He is. Yes, yes, he is. And the way he phrased it, that's the thing. Foreign born, right? Right, because Kyrie Irving is foreign born. He was born in Australia. You know what I'm saying? So, the way you phrase things and how you put it out there is absolutely right. But you're right. Olajuwon, hands down.
But you agree with me and Anthony that all due respect to Dirk, who was a great Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
But he ain't never been the dream.
No. Akeem Olajuwon.
What they did offensively, different games. I mean, Dirk is more outside. Akeem Olajuwon, I think, Devon, is top three post player. I mean, Dream Shake was unstoppable.
He was tremendous.
You got the Skyhook, and then you got the Dream Shake.
But then
defensively, mm-hmm. Akeem Olajuwon might be the greatest. I mean, his timing was one of a kind in a way.
He gave Shaq fits. A young Shaq. Shaq even said the one he had problems against was Akeem Olajuwon.
They swept them.
He said it himself.
Orlando swept. Shaq was with Orlando, Penny.
Yep.
The Rockets swept them 4-0.
And I was rooting for that Magic team hard because I was a big Penny fan. Yep.
Me too. I love Penny.
I love Penny. The injuries got him.
It's a shame.
Him and Grant
Hill. Penny got hurt.
Him and Grant Hill, man. Him and Grant Hill. Nasty. Nasty.
Man. And then now we got Ben is going to turn it on.
I see. You think they're ready?
Now I'm going to write it down. I'm going to, week to week, I want to call you, Devon.
I'm here.
Remember my two numbers, 25 and 21.
25 and 21. You say that.
25 rebounds, mm-hmm. 21 free throw shots.
Yes, sir. Between the two of Embiid and Simmons together. Yep.
I just can't wait. All right, you're the best, Devon. Tyler's awesome. You know that?
Tyler's good.
Big
man.
Fan.
Tyler's great, man.
All right, love you guys.
Dom, have a great weekend. Enjoy the sports.
Tyler's all right.
Tyler's all right.
I appreciate that, Dom. That's very kind.
Yeah. Olajuwon, no question. Foreign-born players, yes, he's number one. Yeah, Dirk is very, very high on that list. But Olajuwon, absolutely number one.
Well, and I think if you think about both of them, in their own perspective, they change the game from the position that they play. But if you're going one-on-one, there's no way that you cannot take Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And by the way, I saw you sneak this up here. Norbit got a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes.
Single digits.
I do not care about Rotten Tomatoes.
I know they're a little bit fraudulent. Because I will tell you this. You know how they do the critic score, right, and then the audience score?
Yeah.
Audience gave it a 53, which isn't good,
but
it's way, way better.
They laughed. That's what they did. Don't forget, find your Wesley Snipes terrible movie. He has a lot of very, very good ones, too. Dom's point, really good ones. I mean, going all the way back to, of course, Major League, right? Goes to Major League, King of New York, Mo' Better Blues. He started running them off.
I got cut already? It's one of my favorite lines.
Yes.
When he wakes up in his beds in, like, the parking lot.
Oh, man. King of New York, Mo' Better Blues, New Jack City, Jungle Fever, White Man Can't Jump, Passenger 57, which I love that one, too. Come on. I don't know about the Water Dance and Rising Sun. I don't remember that one. Demolition Man, that got a lot of thumbs up. Sugar Hill, Drop Zone, I don't remember that one. Money Train, yes. Nate said 2 Wong Fu, thanks for everything. I think it was. And The Fan is where I stopped and said, all right, because he was great in Waiting to Exhale. It was about the ladies, so he wasn't a big part in that one, but he was in it. Murder at 1600, The Fan for me, though, was like, no. Murder at 1600, just when he starts to pick it up again. U.S. Marshals. Then comes Blade. Play It to the Bone. Don't know that one. The Art of War. I remember that. Blade 2 in 2002. Unstoppable. Don't remember that one. Blade Trinity in 2004. Then he has 7 Seconds. The Marksman. Chaos. I don't remember those. The Detonator 2006. Hard Luck. The Contractor.
So I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. They say they're all direct to video.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's probably why you don't remember.
Yeah, there you go. That's, you know, There you go. 610-632-0975, 830, Bubble Watch. We go inside the NBA bubble, give you the latest on what's going on. The NBA is back. Love it. Sixers, 7 o'clock tomorrow, right here on the Fanatic. Flyers, 3 o'clock Sunday, Bruins, home of the Flyers and the Sixers, 97.5 Fanatic. Scott in Philly, what's happening, Scott?
Hey, what's good, Devon?
What's going on with you, man?
Man, just riding around and getting it, man. That's all.
All right, man. Glad you were able to check in. Thank you.
Good stuff, man. I got a actor, you know, worst movie, all that stuff. But first, I want to remind Tyler about the Fantastic Four movies. Remember, those first three are not a part of the MCU. Like, those first three were when Sony Fox still owned the rights to Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why they're not as good as, like, Iron Man or the Avengers and all that stuff.
All right. Yeah, but, and Tyler said thumbs up. Yep.
Yep. But now Marvel has the rights back to, you know, those franchises. So I think I heard that they're going to introduce the Fantastic Four and Ant-Man 3 because they're going to, all that Quantum Realm stuff, they're going to, you know, merge that and how to get their powers.
And Tyler said Dr. Doom is going to be a part of that as well.
Yep, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
So, Kevin Costner is one of my favorite actors. Robin Hood, Untouchables, you know, No Way, all the way, going back to No Way Out. Worst movie, Waterworld.
I know about that one, but I chose not to watch it. But he's one of your favorites, so I understand why you did. What made it so terrible?
It was just, I mean, it almost felt like he didn't even want to do it. Like, it was just a fact, okay, you gave me the check, so
you I'm going to come in here.
But, yeah, it was just, you know, the whole concept was like a you know, the world in an apocalyptic time, and water was, you know, like gold and all that stuff, but it was horrible.
Yeah, I never got into that one, and he has had, of course, a great career, so we know how good Kevin Costner is, but
I
take your word for it, especially being one of your favorite actors, of course, no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt, man. Sixers-wise, quickly, Scott, do you feel like Simmons and Embiid are ready to win?
Yes, I do. I think the break has done them well. You know, a lot of players are going to benefit from the break that they've had, but I feel like that they're ready to do well. I still, you know, a lot of people have said this on the air. Much as I love Brett Brown, I don't think that Embiid and Simmons are going to get to the next level until they get a different type of coach.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
Now, I heard an interesting name yesterday or the day before. I think it was your show, too. Someone mentioned Sam Cassell, and I had never thought about him.
Yeah.
As a coach, but I'm like, you know what? That might not be bad.
But you're again going into that route of unproven first time coach. Do you want a first time coach with this group, or do you want someone that's a veteran? He has been on the bench for a while. He has won a championship, two of them, with the Houston Rockets as a player. So he's been around the block. However, he's never coached. Now, Nick Nurse, he won with the Toronto Raptors. Can Sam Cassell have that same type of impact? I don't know, but it's a good name.
Yep.
All right, man. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you. All right, Scott. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, man. 610-632-0975. It's a good name, Sam Cassell. Why does he keep being passed over? Why does he keep being passed over? That's the only question. Now, I don't have an answer for that one. Cases like this with Cassell, and there was another one that was a popular name, but all I kept hearing was he doesn't interview well. And I'm not saying that's the case with Sam Cassell, because I do not know, because I don't know. But why do they keep going away from him? He is not Mark Jackson. He does not have the baggage that comes with Mark Jackson, even though people like Jackson as a possible candidate in the event that the Sixers are in need of a new coach. But there have been plenty of coaching changes around the NBA, including his hometown New York Knicks that just hired Tom Thibodeau. Why does Sam Cassell keep getting passed over? I don't know. I do not have an answer. Do not have an answer. From Washington to the Clippers. Maybe it's going to help him out now that he's with the Clippers and he's not with the Wizards. But I don't know. I do not know. 610-632-0975. Jordan on Twitter at JEJ8523. I like Black Knight. It's nowhere near as bad as Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. That is, of course, Martin's other movie that was not very good, but in my opinion, was much better. Much better than Black Knight. That movie was stupid.
By the way, we just heard Waterworld too.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. Apparently, they went so far over budget that in the United States, at least, they made like no money. In fact, lost money.
Did they really?
The budget was... It ended up going up to $172 million, which I guess in today's dollars would be about $235 million. Now, they made a lot of money back in Asia and Europe, but in America, it bombed.
All right. I didn't have any interest in it. I did not. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Friday night. Tyler Zuli producing the show. We're getting ready for Flyers hockey on Sunday, Sixers basketball tomorrow, Saturday, and we're excited for it. We were excited for Major League Baseball to return, and Major League Baseball has returned. All right, so let's make that clear. Major League Baseball has returned, and the Flyers were part of that in their return. However, we have teams who have played as many as, many teams that have played as many as seven games. The Phillies are not one of them. Because we know at this point that the coronavirus has hit the Miami Marlins, where they now have another one, right, Tyler? Didn't they have another one today that I saw out there, I believe?
Yeah, I think they're up to 19 now.
19, yep. And now they're talking about them possibly busing back to Miami. Busing back to Miami.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that they're bored.
I do not care.
They keep talking about how it's taxing on them for sitting in the hotel.
Guess what? Relax. Because you might be a little more bored soon.
Yeah, when your season comes crashing to an end.
A little bit.
I'm not like a point fingers guy when it comes to health. Like, I don't feel like I pointed fingers at, you know, Gobert or the Jazz or anything like that.
Right.
But to go out and play with the knowledge that this is happening is inexcusable. I mean, the word's been used a ton of times, but it's negligence.
Simple. Negligence.
Simple. And the Marlins aren't the only ones to blame.
Oh, but they are very, very high on the list.
Correct.
Blame the Marlins, Major League Baseball, the Phillies.
And the Phillies.
Phillies get a touch of that as well. This is ridiculous at this. Again, we said it last night. At this point, it is beyond ridiculous what's going on. And if you did not hear, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, told Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark today that if the sport doesn't do a better job managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season. All right? The Miami Marlins now have 21 members of their organization who have tested positive for COVID-19. There are now two positive tests with the St. Louis Cardinals players who on Friday, concerns inside that sport put their game tonight with the Brewers on pause. And with the concerns overall, now they are worried about outbreaks in general. Because the St. Louis Cardinals were just in Minnesota. So if two players were now tested positive, what does that mean for the Twins possibly? They have to be worried now. The Cardinals teammates have to be worried now. So in Jeff Passan's story, should another outbreak materialize, Manfred, who has the power to shut down the season, could move in that direction. Multiple players briefed on the call fear the season could be shut down as soon as Monday. My goodness. As Monday, if positive tests jump or if players continue not to strictly abide by the league's protocols. Man. These are some big decisions to be made with this one. They've had, I kept saying 103. They have the 113-page operations manual here. State and local governments have pressured baseball about players skirting the mandates outlined in the league's 113-page operations manual. This is out of control as soon as Monday. Man, soon as Monday. Think about it.
Well, if you saw Jeff Passan's tweet from earlier today, he's made it pretty abundantly clear that most of the players are taking these guidelines and strict rules unbelievably seriously.
Right. As they should.
As they should. But the problem is, you know, it's a couple of people who are going to end up putting the whole league in jeopardy because the Marlins made a foolish decision.
Terrible decision. Terrible decision. And it could go even worse if they have to shut this thing down as soon as Monday, as early as Monday. Man. So now we're talking about the Marlins, Phillies, Orioles, Yankees, Cardinals, Brewers, all impacted by this. That's six teams in Major League Baseball impacted by this. They just simply might be forced to do that. We'll continue this conversation as well. But upcoming on the other side, we have Bubble Watch as we go inside the NBA bubble, give you the latest. The league got back underway last night. And they started off very, very well. We'll get into what happened last night. We'll talk about the NBA bubble. We'll go inside with Bubble Watch when we return. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Gibbons. Hanging with you until 10, talking a variety of things from Flyers, Sixers, Major League Baseball, and your favorite actor, actress who put up a stinker during their career right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Fanatic 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you right here on The Fanatic until 10 o'clock on this Friday night. Hope you all having a good one, all settled in, maybe even driving around since the rain is kind of gone away and everybody can just sit back and enjoy the show, whether it be Sixers, Flyers, or in this case, we're talking about the movies as well. We're just having a good time on this Friday night. Hopefully we get baseball back. It's as soon as Monday we're looking at with the Phillies, but who even knows
for
at
now.
This point? Aaron Boone doesn't even know.
I don't blame him.
The Yankees doesn't even know.
Wouldn't want to play them. I definitely wouldn't want to come here.
Who knows? Who knows at this point? But, you know, we have more time. We'll get to baseball. We have to go inside the NBA bubble. It's time for Bubble Watch. Yes, it is. Presented by no one, just us here on this Friday night.
Not yet.
Gibbons, Tyler Zuli here with you. They'll be in a bubble until October, so we're going to give you Bubble Watch as best as we can, as long as they have some storylines. And the storyline from last night with the return of the NBA, where we had two games, great ones, as a matter of fact. New Orleans Pelicans back out there on the floor against the Utah Jazz. Great game. Brandon Ingram had a final opportunity at a look, down two, went for the game winner with a three, lost it. But man, that was a very good first game in return, followed by the big game of the evening, which would have, of course, been Clippers-Lakers. Another great one coming down to the end. Clippers had an opportunity, couldn't close the deal. They were up late in the game after being down by a wide margin. Came back, took the lead. Kawhi couldn't get it done for the Clippers last night. Actually passed the ball, right? Passed the ball. What are you doing, Kawhi? You're a finisher. We know all too well here in Philadelphia. That being said, Look at these numbers. 3.4 million viewers. They peaked at 4.1, which was a record for TNT with an NBA game. And once again, it was July 30th last night.
And it's not a playoff game.
Amazing. People want a basketball back.
You got 4 million for that game. Now think about this. 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, whatever it ends up being, those two teams meet in the Western Conference Finals for game one. You're going to get that at least 4.1 million.
Dude. Without question. Without question, you know you're going to get that, man. And it was just, again, just fantastic to have it back last night. Wonderful. Wonderful to have it back last night. And quickly, inside the bubble, you have all these players that get to now get together. And you remember when we played the Steven Adams cut? Get together. Oh, it's good to see other guys from other teams. Well, Tobias Harris fraternizing with Russell Westbrook, poolside.
Well, he needs a new best friend.
Poolside.
His best friend abandoned him.
Well, listen, Russell Westbrook is out there telling off the media when he's trying to answer questions. So it's great to see that. He's out there eating it look like a popsicle. This will be on Matisse Thybulle's. This is on Matisse Thybulle's vlog. So Matisse, everybody's coming Matisse's way now. Right? Everybody's coming Matisse's way now. And let's not forget the t-shirts that the NBA and the NBA PA have gotten together with Russell Westbrook to put out some of the Black Lives Matter, some of the social t-shirts they're going to put out there is under Russell Westbrook's line. So that's a great thing. Good to see that.
Did you see Jason Tatum's shirt today?
I did not.
It was a good one.
Okay.
Check it out.
Yeah. I'll definitely check it out. Back on the floor, though, we have to go to two teams that 7-8 in the Eastern Conference right now. The Nets and the Magic. The Nets are without everybody. So at this point, you knew the Magic were going to win. They won 128-118. They were led, just like the Magic were in scoring. They were led, the Brooklyn Nets, by a former 76er. You chose him over Pascal Siakam. Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot with 24 points to lead the Brooklyn Nets in a loss to Orlando Magic with Nick Vucevic in his 22-7-5. Evan Fournier led the team with 24, but no, off the bench, Luwawu-Cabarrot. TLC with 24 points, 8 of 12, 5 of 8 from deep. We knew it all along.
I wish the TLC wasn't going to get so much flack from Sixers fans. And the only reason he does is because his name is mentioned. Obviously, he was drafted before Pascal Siakam.
No, it was mentioned because he wasn't good.
Well, no. So you're right. But he was he was a back-end first-round pick, right? What did he go, 25 or something like that?
Yeah.
You know,
24,
okay.
And 26 for a kind of Korkmaz.
You know how difficult it is to hit on the back end of the first round of the NBA.
Sure.
You know, I would say the Raptors got way more lucky.
Yes,
they get
did.
Siakam where they did, as opposed to the Sixers failing at taking TLC.
And not necessarily lucky of where they got him. Lucky that he turned out to be who he's turned out to be.
Right, that's what I mean. Yes. I mean, you get a guy, because like, think about Draymond Green, right? Fell to the second round.
Yes, he did.
We all knew Draymond Green could play.
Yes.
I didn't know if he was going to be a superstar or a star or a good player, but we knew he could play and probably should have been a first round pick. Exactly. I don't know if the same sentiment was true for Pascal Siakam.
No, but it was more of a late first, early second, could be something. They took a chance with two foreign guys, did Brian Colangelo, and he led the team today. They're going to be ousted soon, but he led the team today. The Brooklyn Nets off the bench with 24 points, 5 of 8 from deep. Markelle Fultz on the other side, 19 minutes off the bench, 4 of 9, 8 points, 6 assists in the win for the Orlando Magic.
And one of the ugliest air balls you'll ever see.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to go check the video out. He dribble drives, tries to penetrate the lane. I mean, and it's a side angle, so you can't quite get a good view of how he shot it.
Yeah.
But it is ugly.
Okay, another overtime win for the Portland Trail Blazers over the Memphis Grizzlies. Remember, Blazers, 2.5 back of the Grizzlies with the Pelicans. Pelicans lose last night, head-to-head matchup with Portland and Memphis. They took them down in OT, 140-135, led by Dame's. CJ's 33, Dame's 29, Melo's 21. Gary Trent Jr., only 8 deep for the Portland Trailblazers today. as they pick up the win in overtime. A lot of heavy minutes there, 46 and 45 for CJ and Dame, respectively. They pick up the win. Jaren Jackson Jr. with 33. Ja Morant, the rookie of the year, probably 22. Brandon Clark, also a top rookie, 21 points for him. The Phoenix Suns beat the Washington Wizards, who have no business being there as well. 125-112. DeAndre Ayton, 24-12 for the Phoenix Suns to lead the group there. Devin Booker with 21 and a big contribution from everywhere else. No, Devin Booker, 27, actually. My apologies. Everyone else, double figures. CJ, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Ricky Rubio, Dario Saric off the bench with 16. Six players in double figures for them as they pick up the win. They routed the Washington Wizards without Bradley Beal. That'll do it for Bubble Watch here for us on this Friday night. Games going on right now. Spurs Kings, Bucks Celtics. They're really getting it on right now. Tied at 80. And later on, 9 o'clock start, the Mavs and the Rockets. Also another very good game as we await for that tip-off as well. That is Bubble Watch for you here on the show.
The fact that we're going to be able to do Bubble Watch all the way up until October.
October.
And then, you know, the Miami Heat say they're going to have fans, but we may have something maybe like Bubble Watch Lite
now,
in 2021.
Now, where are they talking about them having fans? In Miami at American Airlines?
I thought so. I didn't read the article. I'll double check, but the headline made it seem that way.
How? It's Miami,
Florida.
Right now.
I mean, other than your answer being Florida, I don't have one for
you. Yeah, where? How? I just don't see it. I do not see it. I don't see how that's possible. I really don't. I don't see how that's possible. I really do not see how it's possible for the Miami Heat to have fans in their building. Inside, no, right? Come on. Come on.
So here's the headline from the Sun Sentinel. I guess that's down there probably, right?
Yes, Miami Sun.
Heat planning to play next season in front of fans at full capacity.
How? Is this their governor speaking? We'll see what that's just going to make us.
Miami Heat president Eric Woolworth.
Well, Eric needs to relax a little bit because it's too crazy down there right now for that to even be a possible, for us to even think that far. We don't know. We have no idea.
Here's a quote from him. Quote, "We're going to keep doing all the things we would do in an offseason, and we've been selling tickets all right along."
You can sell tickets if you want. Doesn't mean they're going to play and have fans in there.
He continues, and I think it speaks volumes to the amount of interest that people in Miami have in our team, but also in the commitment that we have in the community, and to make sure we do play next year in front of our fans and figure out how to do it safely.
Okay. Let's be smart, Miami Heat. You don't have to force it. We can all get there at some point. We hope. We better. But let's not go too far. Let's not go too far. But that was Bubble Watch. It'd be nice for Miami to have fans. It'd be nice for Philadelphia to have fans back in the center. It would be nice for the Celtics to have center in the TD Garden and all of these places. Staples Center for those guys out there. Everywhere. It'd be great. We know what we have to do. All of us. Masks, social distance. We have to do this again. Let the people know. Man. All right. Nat Marlowe, another fanatic guy. Dylan's favorite movie popped up on my Netflix feed today. He told me after he was almost hit by a car on City Ave today that he wants this as his movie poster, you know, later on. Kangaroo Jack.
I have so many questions. My first question is, how did Dylan almost get hit by a car?
I don't know, because we think he's driving, right?
Well, no, he was here today.
Yes.
Hanging out with the morning team.
But he was here. He wasn't outside. He was in the building, right? Or was he doing some type of remote stuff out there on the street, man on the street type of thing?
That's possible. I'll have to text Dylan and see.
What's the other part that you wanted the question? You said you have so many questions.
Kangaroo Jack's like a top five worst movie ever made.
Yeah, it was awful. What's my man's name?
Anthony Anderson's in it, isn't he?
Anthony Anderson and the guy from Crossing Jordan. He was in like this Piranha movie. What's my man's name? Was his name Chris something too?
It was, what was his name?
Kangaroo Jack?
Oh, it's Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell, that's what it was. Jerry O'Connell was all right in things, but this was awful, Kangaroo Jack. It was really, really bad. That was really bad, Kangaroo Jack. That was just a waste.
I'm looking at his.
He's been in stuff. Yeah, he's been in stuff.
So he does a lot of voice acting nowadays.
What does he do?
So he plays, he actually for a while played Superman in a lot of the animated stuff, the cartoons and things like that.
All right.
Yeah, so he plays Superman. That's kind of been his thing lately, is he plays Superman.
Okay. I don't think I knew that either, animated either. I don't think I knew that. Yeah, but he was good in Crossing Jordan, the TV show. And then it got canceled. Yeah. But, yeah, but Kangaroo Jack, no. Anthony Anderson, of course, but Kangaroo Jack, as overall, no thank you. Man, we got a lot of tweets to follow up. Well, first of all, can you give us the poll updates, Tyler? We haven't given out the poll questions. We've had two or three of them that we threw out there just to start things off. And where are we with the Flyers?
Yeah, so the Flyers poll tonight was, what do you consider a successful season for the Flyers in 2020? Just under 300 votes so far. Your options were, is already successful. They have to win at least one playoff series, win multiple playoff series, or go to/win the Stanley Cup. Right now, of those almost 300 votes, 38% say win multiple series, 24% say win one playoff series, 20% say go to/win the Stanley Cup, 18% say it's already a successful season.
Okay. I think the expectations changed where it's not a successful season. We know about the pause and we can't blame them for that. They have to move past the first round, in my opinion. And how good are they playing at that point? How do they exit the playoffs if they do get ousted? That remains to be seen. But right now, yes, it's a successful season, but things have changed where expectations are different, so we can't say it's a successful season as of yet.
Yeah, I mean, the benchmarks move as you go along, and you notice that this team is better than what you expected them to be.
Yes.
I think the problem is they're in a little bit of a precarious situation because everybody just assumes that, oh, they're the four seed, so the only way that they can go is up, right? So they either stay the same or go up, which is true.
That's true.
And it's a great thing to be in because you can't go any further, which helps them tremendously. The problem is, if you stay in that four seed, and I know I'm not the only one that feels this way, Pittsburgh is looming. And Pittsburgh had a chance to get healthy and rest up, mm-hmm. and they're getting older, and their stars are aging a little bit. But what's to say that, or what's to stop them from saying that this is one more run, we're going to take one more shot at this, and then we'll see what happens from there?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh's a dangerous team to face in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Steve Coates said the same thing.
Sure. Absolutely. They absolutely are. What's our Sixers question on 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account?
Yeah, Sixers question is what you posed earlier in the day is, are Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons ready to win at this point in their careers? This one has about 320 votes. 60% say yes, they're ready. 40% say no, they are not ready yet.
Hmm. Let me vote on these. I haven't voted yet. Have you voted yet? Let me vote on these.
Not yet.
All right. Playoff series. Win multiple series, 37%, as you said, okay. And Sixers, again, are they ready? I will say yes, 60.5% for Simmons and Embiid that they are ready. All right, cool. Corey on Twitter, I shall represent Sixers Nation proudly. Sixers and six.
Six what? The first round?
I don't know.
Or the finals?
I don't know. Didn't really give all of that to us, but okay, Sixers and six of something. I'm just going to assume it's the finals. I'll assume it's the finals.
They actually just win their first six games, and the league goes, you know what? Nope. This team's too good. Just give it to them.
War Room Keith. Keith, who's been checking in lately, it's embarrassing with all caps that Manfred is telling the players' union to get things under control. All of this could have been avoided if the Major League Baseball people had put the right penalties in place to begin with. They didn't have to bubble, but players needed to be held accountable. How are you going to? And when I said I had a problem with the Marlins on Monday, it was more of Mattingly and Jeter. Yes, we were frustrated with the players for doing what they did with their text chain and their voting at that point. But it was the front office and the manager, not the players. So Keith is right. How is Manfred going to come at Tony Clark? Or we hope it's not that they were coming at Tony Clark, but just simply telling Tony Clark, hey, Tony, if this isn't under control, we're going to have to back off. Okay, fair. That's fair. He better not be pointing the finger at the players. He better not. Now, we know the Marlins. As we said, they were negligent in this entire thing. If they went out and partied and didn't take it seriously like they should have, we all should have learned from the Rudy Gobert incident. While he may not have caused the coronavirus, he did not. He was the first test case. And being the first test case, since he was playing around, and now he and Donovan Mitchell, who I think it was already there, but this just made it worse, are having their issues, he is going to be looked at as the reason why the league shut down, which is not true. He's not the reason.
He's a reason.
He's a reason.
Right, which is why I said earlier, I don't totally blame him.
No, but he obviously gets the finger pointed
Correct.
At him. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, this is just absolutely crazy that we are in this spot, and Manfred better not blame the players because he is in charge. As Jeff Passan said in his story, he has the power to shut the season down. And let's be real. He doesn't have to shut the season down for good, but he can shut it down for them to come up with something that is more in their up their alley right now for them to get things under control as best as possible and then resume play. Now, they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to come up with something quickly because they cannot be playing late in October and November because the weather just will not permit it. What are they going to do? Are they going to be able to go use someone's dome? Possibly. Right? But Toronto's not going to let them come up there. Nope. Where else are you going to go? Are any of these other places that have domes, are they going to let you come and play baseball there after everything that's been going through? Yeah, maybe, but we don't know for sure. It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing. Manfred needs to step it up. He is looking terrible right now. Terrible. This situation that we find ourselves in, the Phillies have been off now since last Sunday. They will be off for an entire week come Sunday because of the Miami Marlins, the coronavirus. Now 21 people in their organization testing positive, Phillies 2, and we don't even know when they're going to get back on the field. We think it could possibly be on Monday, 2 against the Yankees in New York, 2 against the Yankees here in Philadelphia, but we don't know that for sure. We knew that there were going to be some positive tests. We knew it. We knew that. 21?
Yeah, the number's overwhelming.
21?
And not only is the number overwhelming, the number on one individual team is specifically overwhelming.
21. My goodness. I mean, seriously. 21. Sorry. 21. It's absurd.
Well, and
it's ridiculous, you know, that we're in this spot.
You and I and Joe and Pat have all discussed over the last 4 months. I was pretty adamant that I didn't think baseball was going to play this year at all.
No, you were right.
So the fact that they got off the ground was more credit than I gave them.
Yeah.
But I'm to the point now where I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to continue, by playing under the same pretense and guidelines that they have for the first week and a half.
And look, no one here created the coronavirus, so we can't blame them for getting it, except for the fact that they were irresponsible going out that way. So they didn't create it. But what they have done here, Major League Baseball, is in terms of the owners and the commissioner, is not handled things properly from the labor negotiations that turned into a labor negotiation because it wasn't before. And now this, where they're not handling this the right way as well. 610-632-0975. Get it together, baseball. Get it together. On the other side, we continue the baseball talk. Share the stuff we were talking about with the Sixers and the Flyers. Our Wesley Snipes movie conversation. And much, much more. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Tyler Zulli producing the show right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.